King of Kings. Amen. You might not have your Bible with you today. If you do, John chapter 20. It's all about the resurrection. It gives us a lot of details about the resurrection. And we will just read a few verses here, and then we will we'll get into the message. The same day, verse 19, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And we're going to drop down a few verses to verse. I don't know why my voice is going. Probably because we sang so good. No, I don't need any water. Just chocolate. Chocolate helps. Verse 24, the Lord shows up where the disciples are the same day of his resurrection. And the Bible says in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore say it unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. Thomas had to see it. He heard from the disciples. He heard from those he served the Lord with, but he did not believe them. He wanted to see it for himself. We go on. It's a week later. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father, bless your word now. Thank you for this wonderful day, this day that we remember the resurrection of our Savior, and all that that means to us. And I pray, Father, that we would bring joy to your heart as you have to ours. Bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I said in John chapter 20, the Bible shows us some facts about the resurrection. But this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in all the Gospels. There's four Gospels. In Matthew 28:6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Mark 16, verse 6, he is risen, he is not here. Luke 24:6, he is not here, but he is risen. Paul, in writing 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, he said, and this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is part of the gospel. We know that the Savior died for us, but he lives. Amen. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away, the one song says. And he was raised, and when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, he made a way for all of us to be in heaven with him. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. In Romans 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. I mean, what are we even doing here if he didn't raise from the grave? But he did. It says he did raise from the grave. If there was ever a Sunday to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's this one. I know every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, but this is really, really special. It's Easter. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So we preach the word of God, we preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We all here have had a physical birthday, amen, because you're here, right? But the Bible talks about a spiritual birthday. Ye must be born again, and that's where our spiritual life comes from. I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it said, I'm living the dream. You've probably heard people talk like that, or something like, man, that's living when everything goes right. But it doesn't always go right. Somebody said, I wish I were a little kid so I could just take a nap and everyone would be proud of me for taking a nap. Some days you eat salad and work out. Some days you have cupcakes and pizza. It's called balance. Amen? Don't you love these? Bad days aren't always bad. At least you find out who your friends are. Amen? And then one more. Life is like a roller coaster. Scary at the moment, but funny looking back. We all do that. We look at something, man, we were so fearful and anxious at a time, but as we look back on it, we laugh at that. And we could go on and on and on. How's life treating you? Depends on the day. Depends on the week. Depends on the month. And sometimes the scripture that the Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, we identify with that. But we also look to the second half of that verse. It says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so that's the way it is with the resurrection. He died for our sins, but he rose again. Thomas spent a whole week doubting whether the Lord had risen. He heard the other disciples, they told him he was alive, but he said, unless I see it. You know, Christianity, it's a very personal decision. Other people can talk about it and tell you how much they enjoy it, what their faith is, how strong it is, what their beliefs are. But until those beliefs become ours, they're just somebody else's. But when they become ours, it transforms everything. It's not a form of godliness. It's not I have to. It's I want to. And I get to spend time with the Lord. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, John is saying, and our hands have handled of the word of life. This is seeing, hearing, touching the Savior. That must have been absolutely amazing. And now we live by faith. Amen? We believe what is written, which some of those scriptures we read. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of the same chapter, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus came into this world and he died for our sins. Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. See it for yourself. God bless you. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they had to come out of the city and see the Lord for themselves. That's the way it is with Christianity. Last week we talked about the soldier at the cross. Truly, this was the Son of God. We talked about the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Circumstances brought about those two salvations, those two admissions of who Christ was. And sometimes it takes circumstances in our life, but nothing will happen without the word of God. Before the resurrection, the disciples were hiding. We read that. For fear, they were hiding from the Jews. After the resurrection, they were as bold as lions. And it says that they were rejoicing. In Luke chapter 24, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're walking along. Jesus had been crucified and put in the grave. And they're very sad. And the Lord starts walking with them. He shows up and he starts walking with them. They didn't recognize it was the Lord. And he said, why are you so sad? And they said, haven't you heard? Jesus was crucified and they buried him. They killed him. And of course, this was Jesus there. And he began at Moses and the prophets. And he began to speak to them. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And then it wasn't long before they went back to the disciples and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. There was a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Then they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 5, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I mean, everything changed. There's no fear now. They just wanted to serve the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I won't take the time to read the verses 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul has given his testimony. And he says, before I met Christ, I was injurious, I was a blasphemer, and he names all of these things that he was. And he says, but Christ counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And if you follow Paul's life, he just did everything he could for the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ. And he lived that type of life. He suffered the loss of all things and counted it but dung that he might win Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19. I'll get to the message in about a half an hour. Amen? I hope you ate and drank enough coffee. But 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And it's something how that in this life, we're always paying attention to what's going on in this life. All of the things, the hardships, the blessings, no matter what it is, it kind of takes control of our life. These are temporal things. These are not eternal things. But we are to lift up our eyes and look on the hills. Amen? Look up to the Lord, because there's a day coming where there's no time, there's no end. It's called eternity. Amen? And that's what we certainly ought to be thinking about and thanking God for. Now is Christ risen from the dead. In Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God hath promised, and God cannot lie, he's given us eternal life. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us. Here it is again, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 2:25. I just want to give you a couple more verses of this. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. John 3:15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so many verses that speak of that. Listen, the best is yet to come. Amen? And you might have the best day of your life today, tomorrow, but it doesn't even compare to what our eternity is going to be. In Revelation 21:4, and there's so many verses that talk about what eternity is going to be like, but I like this one. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that good? It says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Amen for that one. Amen. Okay, let's all stand up and touch our toes. Okay? And the verse will mean a lot more to us. And it says, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Okay, that's a negative, but listen to the positive. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. No pain, no sorrow, no sin, no sickness, fullness of joy. That's heaven. That's just one part of heaven. Doubting Thomas. Boy, he had heard from the disciples, but he didn't believe it. And Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing. In John chapter 5, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, if ye believe not his writings, Moses' writings, he said, how shall ye believe my words? If you don't believe this portion of Scripture, how shall ye believe this portion of Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we take the whole Bible, amen? The whole Bible. And he says, if you didn't believe Moses, who prophesied of me, how will you believe me when I'm here? And so it's important, and Jesus brings that up. In John chapter, let me go to Luke chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. Unless you want to, you can do it. But in Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and Lazarus died. And this is what the rich man said. Let me pick it up in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so here we are, and we celebrate Easter, and we talk to people about Easter, and Jesus rose from the dead. That's not what saves a person. That's not what brings forgiveness to a person, even just believing that. It is when this becomes real to us, and we'll see that in just a minute. The one rose from the dead. We have in John chapter 12, I'll just mention this. In John chapter 11, Jesus healed Lazarus. You're probably familiar with that story. And Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days, and Jesus comes back, and he tells them to move the stone away from the grave. And they're saying, no, by this time, he's corrupted. There's a smell. He stinketh. Don't do that. But they did it anyway. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And I heard somebody say one time, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, because if he just would have said, come forth, all the graves would have opened. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And out came Lazarus. He had been dead 4 days. And they took off the grave clothes, and he's alive now. And everybody saw that. The whole village saw it. All the people saw it. We come to chapter 12, and the religious people of that day, the Pharisees, they said that Jesus was going to be there, but Lazarus was also going to be there. And they were going to put him to death the second time. Well, then Jesus would have just raised him the second time. Amen? They were worried about Lazarus. So here's a man that was raised, but it didn't cause anybody to believe. Because not just the information, it's got to be God in your heart. Whoso believeth in their heart, in their heart. I think that's so important. Matthew chapter 12, I will let you turn there because I want to read some verses there. This is the most important verse that we're going to look at today. And it's such a wonderful thing that we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We are believers in that. We believe that he came to earth and he died on a cross for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. That's a good thing to believe. Amen? And when we appropriate that, when we ask him to be our Savior, then all of our sins are washed away. We have an eternity with God in heaven because that's what the Bible says. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here is the Lord, and he's speaking again. This is verse 38 of Matthew chapter 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Everybody's looking for signs. Oh boy, the moon was this and the sun was this, and look at what happened here and what happened there. Everybody's looking for signs. And God says, No, let's come back to the Word of God. Amen? And it says in the next verse, But he answered and said, I'm sorry, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He comes right back to the resurrection. That is prophesied all through the Old Testament. And it's fulfilled in the New Testament. And we see that and we believe it because it's written in the Word of God. In John chapter 20 and verse 29, Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen that like some people have, but God has made provision for us. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why I wrote these things unto you. Such a blessing. John 20, verse 31. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. 1 Peter 1, 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's us. That's us. We didn't come from that time period. We didn't see that. But it's all recorded. And the word of God is perfect. It's pure. Amen? It's true. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Such a blessing. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he's telling this very religious man, he's saying, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, a scholar, a mature man, very religious, says, how can these things be? Now listen to what he said. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Duh. Amen? Duh. That's a duh. That's you know what that means, right? Duh. And Jesus says, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. What do we believe about the heavens? Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. Yeah, but through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let there be light. And he said, let there be this. He said, he spoke the worlds into existence. Isn't that easy to believe? But it's Moses and the prophets. They've talked about all of that. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a Christian because you're a believer. You're not a Christian because of what you do, good works, bad works. It's not the amount of money you give. You're a Christian because you are a believer. Two classes, believers and unbelievers. And we believe what God said, and that leads us to believe in God, to believe in Jesus Christ. There's so many other voices. What is that verse I'm thinking of, Richard? He usually helps me out here. I can't think of it right now, but I'll probably come back to it. It'll just prolong the sermon a little bit. Amen. But in Psalm 119, verse 22, I trust in thy word. Psalm 119, 81, I hope in thy word. There was a man, John the Baptist, and he was the forerunner of Christ. He's prophesied in the book of Malachi and other places in the Old Testament. And he was the forerunner, and he's the one that said about Jesus in John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Think of that. That was quite an amazing statement. Well, later on, he's in prison, and he says this, John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He was the one that spotted Jesus and said, that's the Lamb of God, and now he's doubting if he's the right one. I don't know if anything like that ever happens to you. His two disciples came back with this instruction from Jesus. Tell John. And then he gave some information. It was the word of Jesus Christ again that gave him that faith. In 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Amen? By the word of God. And it's such a blessing that it lives and abides forever. So the Bible says he is risen. What does that mean? It means we can have eternal life. He conquered. He paid for our sin. There was a group of people called the Sadducees. There were Pharisees and Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. You are there. Amen? 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because I live, ye shall live also. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Earth and heaven in chorus say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, hallelujah. We sing our songs, we meet together, we pray, praise the Lord. Christians for over 2,000 years had a greeting, and that greeting was always, he is risen, and then the responding tone would be, he is risen indeed. And that's how people encourage one another. If you're familiar with the story of Jacob and his sons back in the book of Genesis, he had a favorite son by the name of Joseph. And the brothers were jealous of Joseph, so they were going to kill him, but they sold him into slavery into Egypt. and they told his father that he was killed by a wild beast. How Jacob mourned, how that hurt him, how it broke his heart. And years went by. Joseph became, under the providence of God, he became second highest ruler in the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And because of his wisdom, during a time of famine, they had food there, and the brothers come back. And you know the story. I won't go into the whole story. But anyway, Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, and they go back and say to Jacob, Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. And the Bible says the spirit of Jacob revived when he heard that his son was alive. Dead, alive. We have the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And the one boy takes his inheritance and goes to a faraway land and spends it all, wastes it on riotous living, the Bible says. His father looked for him every day. He's not coming back. Years go by. But there was a famine in the land, and this boy says, I'm going back home. I'm going to tell my father I've sinned and ask for his forgiveness. And he sees the father, the prodigal son, sees him coming a great way off, and he runs out to meet him. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. That's a Bible principle. He runs out to meet him, and he's rejoicing. He brings a robe for him, shoes for his feet, a ring on his finger, and he says, let's kill the fatted calf and have a party. Amen? And he said, this my son was dead, and he is alive again. My older brother's in heaven. My mom's in heaven. My dad's in heaven. I miss him dearly. I'll see him again. Why? Because absent from the body for the Christian is present with the Lord. And there is only one way to become a Christian. It is written. Amen. That's why God gave us the Bible. Otherwise, there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of different ideas on how to go to heaven, how to get to God, if there is a heaven. And so we thank God for his word. The Bible says he is risen. He is risen indeed. Somebody said an empty tomb is the cure for an empty heart. One last verse. I am he that liveth, Jesus said, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Let's bow our heads, please. In honor of the Lord, just bow your head. Do you believe? This is Easter. This is why we're here. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on a cross for you? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you believe that? If you believe it, tell the Lord. Tell him you believe it. Tell him you want him to be your Savior. Rejoice that he's alive, and one day he's coming back for us. Praise God, praise God. Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless every dear person here today. May our faith be stronger because of your word, because of your spirit. And may we glorify you and be grateful for the life you've given us. In Jesus' name. Please remain with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Cheryl's just going to play a verse of a song. And just talk to the Lord a little bit, and then we'll be dismissed.